Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, leave it in. Lamont Peterson, you know what? Great night of fights, man. Great night of fights. I find it hilarious that HBO is talking hometown cooking, and you know that this was, you know, really biased, and I just don't get these guys. You know what I mean? It's just still a point where you literally want to run over there to them and just say, can you guys just shut up? You know, just watch the fight. Call the fight. Stop being a biased commentator, you know, and just keep rooting for your HBO fighter. It's ridiculous. I mean, they're complaining about the ref, which, to me, I thought he made the right calls, man. The guy, you know, Amir was being really dirty. He would, it was almost watching an early on, like a rugby match, because he was running, putting the elbow and the forearm in the face of Lamont. He was holding a lot. He was holding them behind the head, pushing them down. I mean, there was a point, I think after the fourth or fifth round, that I was like, is the ref going to intervene, or is he just going to keep saying, stop doing this, you know? It was evident in the first round when, you know, Khan was just coming forward and just jamming his whole body, his whole weight against Peterson, where he was, you know, getting dropped because of the force. You know, his feet were getting tangled, but at the same time, he was slipping because of the canvas, because, you know, water being spilled all over the place. To me, they were the right calls. I mean, if you're an Amir Khan pro fan or you're an HBO employee, of course you're not going to agree with what I'm saying. I don't know what you thought here, Gabriel, but I thought it were fair calls, and those points taken away were justified because of what Amir Khan was doing throughout the whole fight.
Yeah, I was a little on the fence. You know, I saw the ref at the beginning. I was like, oh, shit, it's a guy we don't know. We've never seen
right.
him. We're in a big fight on HBO. This could be terrible. And I thought the call he did miss was that knockdown, which wasn't a knockdown. He slipped in the corner. He kind of took a shot, but it wasn't like he took a shot and that's what dropped him. So I thought Peterson had it against him kind of early, and he didn't need to. But he responded, and he came back with more energy the next round, like, you know what, I can't lose this round or I'm going to be down a bunch. And he really put it to Khan. he ate his power early, took it very well, and decided to come back and go right to that body and just say, you know what, this guy's going to run. I'm just going to beat the hell out of his body. And I thought it was really a choice between professional-style boxing and amateur-style boxing, because after, like, the fourth round of going toe-to-toe with Peterson and taking body shots and uppercuts and right hands, Peterson was zeroed in with that right hand for a while.
Oh, yeah. You know,
Khan decided to run. He decided to run for the hills. And, I mean, sideways and straight backwards, just running. Those were shoeshine punches versus, even if Lamont was landing fewer, and there was only 12 punches landed, separated them on the compu box, you know, in total, and Peterson outlanded him on power shots, if you want to go by compu box. But Peterson landed the more professional shots, even though he landed fewer. When he got inside, it had more substance. He landed some hard
right.
body shots, and he was the reason Khan was running. That was a great decision. Good for Lamont Peterson. I couldn't be happier for the guy. And honestly, you know, I would have taken points for something with Khan, whether it was the elbow, the pushing
yep.
his head down, or the pushing off, the way he was doing with two hands. Not like shoving him off with his elbow, which is an acceptable foul, but just straight pushing him backward. Sorry, but that's not a boxing move.
You know, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm not going to say who I thought won, because I got to go back and watch it because of the emotions of the fight. You know, every fight fan out there says, you know, we always root for the underdog, and this could have been one of those things. I was, you know, I had picked Amir Khan to win. But we did mention, you know, this past Thursday, that Lamont Peterson, you know, if everything was lined up right, he could win. He's just that tough of a kid that was going to come to fight. And a lot of folks really underestimated him and really thought, They undermine this guy's skills. They undermine the fact that this guy can take a punch and he can recoup when he needs to. And, you know, the thing that I liked about, you know, I'm going to tell you, the thing that I liked this time around about Lamont Peterson here, Gabe, was the fact that he didn't make the same mistakes that he did when he got in to face Ortiz or when he got in to face Timothy Bradley, you know, where he was just coming forward with aggression. You know, this time around with Khan, he was coming forward with aggression, but at the same time, he knew that a big right hand was going to come along the way with him walking forward. So he would pause himself a little bit, and then he'd kind of pull back, which we don't really like to see in boxing. You know what I mean? It's like a cardinal rule. You don't pull back. You pull your head back because you can get clipped. But it was working for him. And every time Khan would throw a punch, he pulled back, and then he countered him, you know. And the other thing, too, I tweeted out before the fight started, I said that overhand right that Lamont has, he's going to have to use it when he gets Khan against the ropes, because that's where Khan really gets his rest time. He does that a lot to get rest time because he uses his leg. He uses his leg so much. But I got to agree with you, man. This, the way he looked tonight, with the leg movement and him, you know, basically using the whole ring like a track meet, just really told you that he really underestimated Peterson. And the pressure that Peterson brought was almost the same type of pressure that you see out of real tough, rugged Mexican fighters. They just don't stop. They keep coming forward and forward. Peterson, man, had DC on his back. And you know what? Barry Hunter told him, do not allow them to have a party in your city. And he brought it to him. Fight fans, you want to call in right now? You certainly can. 347-215-7598. We are live on Leaving in the Ring. Me and myself and Gabriel, we called each other up. Like, hey, you want to do a post-fight? We were like, yeah, let's do one, you know? We haven't done one in a long time, so here we are live.
why not, man? It was a good fight. You're sitting there watching it, just going, I picked against Peterson for two reasons. One, I didn't think he was going to rise to the occasion and pull it out. I just didn't. I thought there might be greatness in him, but I just had a feeling that it was going to be close and he wouldn't get it. And the other reason was kind of his physical makeup and his style. He tends to square up a lot, and he does the thing you're talking about where he leans straight back with his upper body to make you miss an uppercut or a right hand. But when he does it, he's squared up, and so he leaves himself open to be knocked off balance. And also, he's not really in a position to capitalize with a speedy guy like Khan, who's just going to shoe shine. When you're in a squared up position, you can't really spring, forward and get in close on a guy, or you're not in really a position to punch back with a counter. So I thought he would just get beat to the punch all night, and he kind of was. But when Khan elected to fight with him early on in the first four rounds, he took more damage, and all of a sudden he had to run for it, and it gave Lamont, you know, okay, I've got something going here. And he just started trapping him and going to the body. I thought he was very smart. He saved his energy while Khan kept expending energy all through the fight. And he just was always right there, always trying to get at Khan. He kind of faded a little bit for me, but I thought the last two rounds were key in that the way Peterson, Khan fought, running and shoe shining, he had to score, you know, Peterson making him do that, ring generalship, and he also had to score the defense because not a lot of what Khan was throwing was landing. And the quality shots were those body shots and close and some uppercuts. And he mixed in a right hand, late in the 11th or in the 12th, Peterson. So to me, he was landing the clean, effective blows. His aggression was effective. His defense was good. And Khan was just hoping the clock would hurry up. It was just, to me, as clear a victory. I mean, it was a close fight. But if you had to give it to a guy, I wanted to give it to Peterson.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I got to go back, and I definitely have to look at that fight all over again. I'm reading what Robert the Ghost Guerrero is tweeting out there. He said, you know, damn, I wanted to be the guy to expose Amir Khan for what he was, and missed opportunity because Khan didn't want to face him. So, mm-hmm. I couldn't argue who really won that fight. It could have been, you know, Khan maybe was a point or two above. But at this moment of what I was watching, I thought Peterson, you know, at least had a point up. You know, at least did enough to really show me he wanted it more. You know, a lot of times we you see some people go like, well, you know, he was landing shots, but like you said, there were moonshine shots, there were amateur shots, and every time I see them throw something that Amir Khan was doing, HBO was making a bigger deal about it, when really a lot of those shots were not even landing, or they were landing on the glove of Peterson, you know? I mean, that's one thing that I think that I could really just kind of give away with is the HBO commentators at this moment. You know, there was at one time these guys did a great job, and we're talking about in the 80s and mid-90s and stuff, but it's just now down to this is a home, this is a HBO fighter, and we're just going to stick by them to the thick and thin. They're not doing their job. Call the fight. You got to call the fight. I talked to Benny Ricardo off the air, and that was one of the big things that me and him talked about is how commentators nowadays, they don't call fights. You know, they're hometown call fights. That's what they do. But let's patch in some fight fans, man, that are lining up here on the switchboard that want to talk boxing with us on Leaving the Ring. Let's go. I don't got David Chan to pull you in a private room to find out what your name is or whatnot. So I'm going to go off the area code. And fight fans, you want to call in, 347-215-7598. So I'm going to hit you up by the area code, and if you can just give me your name and what you thought about the fight. Here we go. Let's go with area code 973. What's up, brother? You're on live right now on Leave It in the Ring.
What's up, man? It's Billy over from Harrison, New Jersey.
Billy, what's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Listen, man, I got to agree with you on everything you said in the intro about HBO commentators and all of that. I don't listen to them for shit. I think they're full of it all the time. But I think that they were head on in this fight. I ain't taking nothing away from Amon Peterson. He fought one hell of a fight. But at the end of the day, Amir Khan won that fight. Now, my thing is this. It was a joke. One of the judges gave it 114 to 111 with a two-point deduction to Amir Khan. I thought that was ridiculous.
Right.
I like the 113, 112 going both ways, you know what I mean, for Amir Khan. There's a close fight, you know, and I think those 2 points definitely made the difference. But if I don't take none away from Peterson. I take none away from the referee. The referee was total, it was bullshit. I mean, like I said, I usually don't agree with nothing the HBO commentators say, but they were head on when they said, you know, there were no, you know, hard warnings on Amir Khan. I mean, how many times do you watch fights where the referees are always, you know, keep it up. Stop grabbing, you know, don't push, you know what I mean? It's a fight, you know? Once it gets to that point, where you're about to see the point,
each fight kind of is its own geography, you know? That's what the ref is, you know? He's a cartographer. He's mapping out what's acceptable for both of these guys to do. And he warned him several times, and it's illegal. Some refs let it happen.
What happened with Khan was not
so much hometown cooking. It was the first time in a long time that Amir turned to the ref and wasn't given a positive, but was instead warned and then had a point taken from him. And he didn't
know
how to handle
it. I really don't even buy into that hometown cooking stuff. I don't think that was it, the reason or whatever, but I do put this on the ref. Not for nothing, Lamont Peterson, he fought one hell of a fight. He was coming in there and throwing his weight around, which not many boxers could do against Amir Khan at 140. You know what I mean? If Amir Khan moves up, He's gonna have a shitload of trouble at 147. But
right.
I think he didn't respect his. He felt his power, and it wasn't anything. And then he didn't respect his speed. Said, "All right, you're faster than me, but I'm gonna make you fight. And I want to get on top of you, where it doesn't matter that you're faster than me."
Right.
He took that away from Khan all night. I thought it was very
smart.
The whole
running back that you guys are talking about. I mean, I thought that was one hell, you know, great boxing strategy because Amir Khan can't sit there and brawl with Lamont Peterson. Lamont Peterson would have ate him up if they would sit there and brawl. He had to get on the bicycle and he had to back up. But that's boxing.
The only thing though, that was a little bit too much on the bicycle where Amir needed to really pose that size. You know, I mean, in that first round, Billy, he imposed it. You know, he jumped on him. He pushed him back. Now, granted, was using the four and he was using the shoulder to push him back, but he was showing Peterson, I'm the bigger guy, I'm the flashier guy, and this is what I'm going to do. You could really see that Khan was worried, for one, that he was uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the other thing, too, with the running, when you see a guy that runs a little bit too much, that tells you that there's something in that game plan that he did not anticipate at all.
What I'm saying is that he did fall back.
It was the right hand, Dave, and the left hook to the body.
That's what I was going to say.
The fifth round. He
was doing
his
thing with the footwork. When he was running back was when he got hit. And I'm not taking, like I said, I'm not taking away from Peterson. Peterson caught him, and he caught him good. And
right.
That's when Amir Khan ran a little more. I don't think the rest of it was running. I think it was just great footwork. You know, but, I mean, if somebody clocks you, yeah, you're going to back up. And then there was a couple of points in the fight where Lamont Peterson just nailed him. You know, where Amir Khan said, shit, let me get the fuck out of here. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Yeah,
like,
no,
where
I think
he had
so.
To do it, you know,
yeah.
But I don't think it happened too much where you could say, like, he was on a bicycle the whole night. I think
no.
The fight was great footwork.
It was definitely, no, it was like from five on.
I think it was from six and on. Yeah, like five or six, it was, that's when you saw the change of the guard where you saw Amir go, you know what, I'm taking a little bit more punishment than needed, so let me get on this bicycle and let me use the amateur background that he does. You know, pose. I mean, and he did that.
This isn't the amateurs, and that's the thing. A lot of those shoe
right.
shines he was throwing, they were all on Peterson's gloves. Maybe one would get through. But then Peterson, later on in the round, would get him into the ropes and dig to that body and get an uppercut in. I value more of those shots and the fact that he's making Khan run for the hills, or at least fight in a you know, Khan wanted to come forward and overwhelm him. It didn't work. And instead, he got rocked and hurt and made to back up. That's taking control of a fight and dictating how the fight's going to be fought. To me, that's ring generalship.
Right.
Peterson won that clearly tonight. You could be running all over the place. That doesn't mean that you're in charge of how you guys are fighting. You're running because if you stop, that dude's being
No, but
harassed.
I think he was running when he got hurt. And it's not like,
right.
I mean, you guys say from the fire, from the fifth round through the 12th. I saw maybe from the fifth, you know, through the seventh, and then, you know, the eighth, ninth, and tenth. Matter of fact, the eighth through the 11th, you know, Khan was doing his thing with his footwork, you know what I mean? And that was it. He wasn't running. I cannot agree with the fact that
he
was
still
running.
Wasn't putting a lot on his punches. I mean, he started punching again. I see what you're saying. He settled
yeah.
back in and got his legs under him. But he ceased fighting at that point. He was giving
well,
the illusion
of fighting.
Well, I just
think that Peterson is a way stronger fighter than Amir Khan. And that
which is surprising.
Tonight.
Which was really
yeah.
surprising. You know what I mean?
Honestly,
I gotta,
it really did. It surprised the shit
you know
out of
what
me,
I mean?
Too. Don't get me
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, because on Thursday I was like, you know what? Peterson's going to find out how big Amir Khan was. But it was like vice versa. You know, it was... You know, Peterson was muscling him around, pushing him back, and keeping him really on those ropes. Where Amir, you know, in the past, like I mentioned, you know, Amir would take rest time on those ropes. But this time, he was literally
he was smothered.
Forced,
yeah, he
yeah,
was smothered.
He was forced to be on those
but,
ropes.
See, here comes to my next point. I mean, my first point. I mean, if somebody is literally, like, pushing you against the ropes, what are your options but to push back? I mean, where else can you go? I mean, how many fights have we seen? You know, you have to push back.
See, the thing, the difference is that I didn't see Peterson pushing him back, like, you know, pushing the arms back the way Amir did. He was pushing him back by closing the gap, you know,
right.
and that was the aggression that he used. He closed that gap. He made sure that he was right in the pocket with him. What it made Amir do, he's not a comfortable guy in the pocket, so he made him take a few steps back, you know, and literally... Peterson wasn't cutting the ring off. Amir was literally cutting the ring off for himself. You know what I mean? And that's what I really saw. Billy, we got a lot of calls here, brother. I'm going to put you back on hold. Hey, thank you again.
Thank you for really appreciate it, bro.
Hey, and I got to let
have
you know, there's a lot of folks feeling the same way, the way you're feeling right now. They thought that Khan won as well. Like I said, I'm not going to say who I thought won because I got to go back and watch this fight again. It was just that good to really sit here and
that's
go like, well, this guy won, you know? But thanks, brother, for calling in.
Have a good night, brother.
You too, man. You know, if you guys want to call in, you certainly can. 347-205-7598. What would you have, Gabe?
I had a 6-6, but with that point, the second point deduction, that was the difference on my card for Peterson.
For Peterson?
Yeah.
Let's get in another fight fan, man, who wants to talk boxing here. Like I said, we don't have Mr. Dave Chen, our producer, to put you in a private chat room to ask you your name and what you want to talk about. So I'm going to have to call you by area code. So let's go with area code 508. You're on live right now on Leaving in the Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
What's up, guys? This is Junior. I saw the fight, and, you can't put too much blame on the ref. I don't think it was the ref, you know. I can't put too much blame on the ref. You know, Khan, he should have adjusted. He couldn't adjust, and it seemed like, you know, they were in panic. And I guess he just overlooked Lamont. He thought he was just going to blow his guy out. Even though, like, I wanted Lamont to win, but I didn't want Lamont to win, you know, with the help by the ref, but, you know, I understand, like, you know, that it's one of those, like, gray areas with the pushing and the clinching, and but Amir should have got deducted even more with the headlocking that he was doing. I don't know, man. I mean, that was, you know, some pretty dangerous headlocks he had there.
You know, I wasn't really tripping off the headlocks because Lamont was resting his head on his chest. So
I was.
Really, I wasn't. It didn't really bother me a whole lot because I think that's just your first, you know,
look
your
back,
reaction.
When you watch it again, though, who initiates each of those clinches? I mean, Lamont's coming in. He's putting his head on his chest. Seth rubbing his top of his head in Khan's face. He wasn't even looking like he was trying to headbutt. He was just ducking down low and kind of bending at the waist so he can get in there and wing shots to the body. Khan didn't know how to defend that or get out of that, and he would just tie up. And clinching, that's what I would have taken points from it for, is clinching. The pushing, too, those are signs of, I don't know what to do. Let me push. I'm uncomfortable. I mean, you've been in boxing gloves. When you're first learning how to box or you get into areas where you don't want to be when a guy gets close in, you do weird things that are that feel natural if you didn't have gloves on, but are odd when you do have gloves on. That's, to me, what Khan grabbing on and pushing like that with both hands, that leaves you yourself pretty wide open. It's a very amateurish move. A smart guy could take a step back, come over the top of the hook, you know, around the back of it. Again, to me, it was just Peterson very much in control, very much, you know, there was times when he was tired in the effort that it was like Glenn Johnson, you know, he had to keep throwing punches. It kind of got to him, and those are the Khan rounds. But overall, to me, at least coming in the last two rounds, I wanted to reward professional punches and a guy that was willing to get it done
right.
Versus a guy that was running off the clock and just throwing, and let me run for it. That
he kind of did like an Oscar De La Hoya Trinidad.
What's that?
He kind of did like an Oscar De La Hoya Trinidad at the end.
He did.
He did.
He started sooner, though.
He can't find the inside. And, you know, I thought being with Freddie Roach, you know, he'd be able to find the inside, but he completely cannot find the inside. He's going to get uncomfortable. He'll clinch, he'll push, headlock, whatever. And, you know, I can't, you know, I mean, like I said, I want Lamont to win, but, you know, I didn't want him to get help by the ref, but, you know, Khan should have done a lot more.
You know, let me ask you this, though. What fighter that's under the tutelage of Freddie Roach can fight inside? I haven't seen one yet that knows how to fight inside, you know? I mean, I've spoken to a couple of trainers, and they all say the same thing. They all say Freddie only shows a one combination, a left, right, and a hook, and that's it, you know? So I wasn't surprised. We've been saying this about Amir for quite some time. He doesn't know how to defend against an uppercut. He doesn't know what to do when a right hand is thrown at him. And I think a little bit of the adjustment was not even from Freddie Roach, because every time they put the camera on that corner, Freddie really didn't have a whole lot to say. The adjustments really came on the fly of Amir Khan. Amir really had to bring in his experience in the National Amateur League into this pro league fight. You know what I mean, Gabe? That's what I saw.
I think, you know, the one guy that you could give credit to here, I guess, is Alex Ariza. I mean, he didn't live up to Ariza's, you know, my guys are tearing through everybody claims. But to get measured with a jab the way he was in, like, the 10th, I think it was, and, like, Peterson held his left hand out and just came with the right hand when Khan was on the ropes, and he got all of it, and he stayed up. I don't think Peterson's that big of a puncher, but that tired of it in a fight, and you take a shot like that, and you're still standing. It's a testament to the kind of shape that he was in. But you're right. I mean, he's not a guy that's ever going to be able to sit down and dig in. His heart says that he wants to be that, and
right.
He showed that at times. But I don't think he's built like that. He's not durable like that. It's probably why he has speed as opposed to the gift of power, you know?
Absolutely.
He's not as strong and going to dig in there. It's just interesting. Joe Cortez was thrown into the International Boxing Hall of Fame, right?
And
it was right before Khan Maidana. And then later
right.
on he had, you know, the Mayweather-Ortiz debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Roach just got inducted into the Hall of Fame, and they've had Linares lose, and they had Manny Pacquiao look like crap, and now Khan just lost. And is it the Hall of Fame International Boxing Hall of Fame curse. This is like getting on the cover of Madden.
I know. I think anybody right now, any fighter, any cut man, any trainer, if they're being offered to be an inductee for the Hall of Fame, they should say, no, not right now.
Yeah, I'm not done yet. Let me retire, okay? Motherfucker.
Then put me in the ballot and stuff. Hey, Junior, thanks for calling in, brother. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to pass in some other fight heads, okay?
Really quick.
Go ahead.
Khan retired. Any thoughts of fighting Mayweather, period?
Oh, yeah, he's not ready. He's really not ready. And you know what, too? For all the folks out there that's to give me a bunch of gripe about me picking Bradley over Khan, there was a reason why I was picking Bradley over Khan. I mean, if Khan was having a lot of problems with Lamont Peterson, with the pressure and the body shots, what do you think Timothy Bradley would have done? You know?
Yep.
So, definitely.
I think it would look very similar. Styles make fights, and I think it looks very similar to this fight. Tim's
right.
going to be following him around a lot. He's going to have to wait. He's going to have to, you know, back off times and track Khan down if he goes into this kind of mode. But I also think, to his point about Floyd Mayweather, Styles make fights, and Khan still has the height, the reach, the willingness to get kind of physical. He's learning how to do that. He's going to have to be that way with Floyd. I still think he has what it takes to go the distance with Floyd and possibly out.
The only thing I would be really curious is how Floyd would react to the elbows being thrown in his face this time around. You know, when it's really Floyd that does that, he really puts, you know, he muscles his opponents and kind of adapted that, you know, just that he's a little bit more forceful when he just kind of lunges in to put the elbow in, where Floyd is really just to push you out to get measured, to get space to land his shots, where Amir's more to get you off of him so he can take a step back and then come back in again. So that's the only thing.
It's like a first-year karate student versus like a 20-year master. The first-year guy is still pushing and pushing and trying to use his youthful force and energy to get the job done. And the old guy knows how to let you crash into him, lock you up, and tire yourself out by changing the way he's clinching you. And that's the difference between the two guys. I think we saw that with Khan. He tried to muscle and muscle for four rounds while eating big shots and thought, I'll win out this way, and he wore out faster. Floyd wouldn't
right.
do that. You know, Floyd would probably slow up and beat down Khan if he tried that kind of tactic. But Khan can, you know, he showed he could move and peck and move and not
right.
get crazy, and if he did that with Floyd, he'd be a problem. He's very fast. At 147, he could be even stronger.
You know, too, also really quick, just to, shout out there, you know, I did put up on Twitter, but just say it again. No matter what your thoughts and what your feelings about Amir Khan, you got to applaud the guy. He came to fight, too, and he gives us some exciting fights, you know, with
mm-hmm.
Madonna, even with Zab Judah. The guy does come to fight. Now, did he have problems in this fight with Lamont Peterson? Yeah, he did. And like I said, I got to go back and watch it again. Let's pass in some other fight fans who want to talk about Lamont Peterson versus Amir Khan and the outcome and what their pick was and who they thought won the fight. So let's go with area code 510. You're on live right now on Leave It in the Ring. 510, you there, brother? Okay, let's go down to the next caller. Area code 210, you're on live right now and Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
Oh, man, what a fight. Good fight. Hey, I've never seen the Golden Boy Brass get so riled up on the side. Did y'all see that?
Did you see that? I saw that, man. You know, for a minute, you know, you saw Oscar De La Hoya was actually screaming out bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
All of them. You know, even the matchmaker, Eric Gomez, was almost up on that ring apron, you know, practically screaming at the ref. You know, good thing for the ref, though, that he did not allow Golden Boy to muscle or the HBO to muscle him to end the decisions. You know what I mean? He was watching the fight closely. Some would agree, some don't agree, but I thought he made the right calls, and I thought he did them at the right moment in time. And to make it clear, I thought he took a little longer for the first time to take a point away from Amir Khan. Now, is it an argument whether or not he should have given Amir Khan, a warning? Hey, you know what?
A
hard warning. I've seen plenty of fights on HBO where the ref doesn't give a warning and takes a point automatically, and there's no complaints there.
Yeah, well, I mean, one time he did. He said, hey, this is going to be your last warning. I remember hearing him say that, and I was like, man, I've never really seen a ref warm for this, but that's just like y'all said, Khan has no inside game. I mean, it was kind of ironic because that's when Roach was commenting to Robert Garcia that, you know, Khan would expose Rios. And I'm like, after seeing that, I'm like, anybody who has an inside game has a really good chance with an inside game stamina with Khan, because he has no inside game. I mean, he's just pushing off or he like dive, kind of like, you know, duck under and jump out. You know what I mean? So I think he needs to work on an inside game big time. I mean, yeah, like you said, I think Bradley takes him out. And I don't know. What do y'all think?
Yeah. I think it's funny. It reminds me of we've all seen that movie, Jerry Maguire. And, and when Rod Tidwell standing next to Tom Cruise after they lose Kush, and he looks at him and goes, "You feeling me now, right?" I kind of picture that same scene with James Kirkland standing next to Oscar De La Hoya right now, because he's pretty much the only guy they got left that can generate excitement. That they can start to promote. I mean, Khan, okay, you can argue he won the fight, but did he excite you? Like, which guy would you rather see again? You know, me would be Lamont Peterson against somebody that wants to fight him. You know?
Yeah, I think the good thing is we'll probably see it again. Maybe in three times, maybe a trilogy. It was a good fight. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's going to make it happen again, you know?
That's probably as good as Lamont Peterson can do. You know, maybe he can get some more confidence out of this and see some things that he can do a little sooner. But he's always going to be slower. He's always going to be a little bit awkward and not quite set up. You know, they might just always have close fights like this. But I think in the rematch, Khan separates himself, doesn't brawl early, and picks his spots better.
Right.
And probably just takes it right back, you know. It's interesting, though.
You know, go ahead, brother.
Uh-huh.
What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, even if he won the decision, he kind of got exposed big time, you know, with his inside game. But, yeah, go ahead.
Oh,
sir.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't even call it exposed, because we've been knowing this for quite some time. I mean, even when we talk about Manny Pacquiao, you know, these are they're very visible flaws that both fighters come in with, you know, and that's something that Freddie has not adjusted or fixed, or you know what I mean, he hasn't went back to the drawing board and really see what is the problem with his fighters. Now, hey, I guess what do they do now? Go back to the drawing board, because this time it bit him in the ass? I don't know, you know.
Yeah,
who knows?
I think they definitely go back to the drawing board, but now he's got to fight at 140 again. I don't know about you, but Khan looked drained to me at 140. He looks gone to the weigh-in. So he's got to go back to that well again. I think Peterson has no problem making it. And they probably have to go back to Washington. They'll probably ask for some other place, but you know,
I doubt that they go to Washington again. I think this time around Golden Boy is going to press for a Las Vegas venue, or probably even in Great Britain. You know what I mean? Because they feel that there was unjustified calls, that everything was up against them, that they're gonna try to make it out to be that they need even grounds. You know?
You know, all the top refs. I mean, I don't think Kenny Bayless would have taken points the way this ref did. This ref called it hardline, but you know, this fight could have turned very, very ugly. And I would, like I said, I wish he'd taken points for clinching, because it did get ugly in spots. But if it was up to Amir, it would have been a clutch and grab fight all night long.
It would have been a
brawl
fight.
Yeah, and it kind of was that in a lot of ways. And Lamont fought, you know, Khan kept saying, you know, I was the only clean fighter tonight. I 100% disagree. I thought he was the dirty fighter. And the guy impeding a fight actually happening by running, by clinching, by holding, pushing his head down, all that stuff, to me, it was justified in taking points from him and penalizing him. You got
Absolutely.
What he deserved.
Absolutely. Hey, brother, we didn't get your name, the caller right now. What's your name, bro?
Oh, hey, this is your regular. This is Rod.
Hey, Rod.
Oh, hey.
¿Qué pasó, vato?
I want to say a quick shout-out to I don't know who tweeted it, but it was pretty funny. It said they deducted points for Khan bringing David Haye to the fight. I don't know. That had me rolling.
Learning.
Yeah, I think it was in the retweeted.
Hey, Rob, thanks for calling in, brother. We're going to patch in some other callers, okay?
All right, guys, take it easy.
You too, man. Let's get in some other fight, some other boxing heads. We want to talk boxing, Amir Khan and Lamont Peterson. The upset, Lamont Peterson pulling it off. Some people feeling that it was, you know, Khan should have took it. Other folks are saying it was the right call. The ref took away 2 points during the fight. You know, Golden Boy HBO's just rightfully saying it was the wrong thing to do, that it was hometown cooking. But a lot of fight fans out there, boxing heads, are feeling like, you know what? There was no hometown cooking. There were the right point deductions that were made on tonight's fight. Let's get in area code 973. What's up, brother? You're on live right now on Leave It in the Ring. 973, you out there? No? Okay, let's go. Let's go with area code 209. You're on live right now on Leave It in the Ring. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going? This is Dave.
Yeah, this is Dave.
What's up, Dave? It's Ray Markellian.
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing, man?
Doing good, brother. You know, just here on the air, man, talking about the fight. What'd you think about the fight? Who did you have winning?
Well, you know what? I had Khan winning before the referee took that last point in the 12th round. I mean, you know, to me, I thought Peterson fought a very good fight, and you know, he was pressing Khan throughout the fight, and you know, but the problem was that Khan has too much speed, and I mean, basically he's running around the ring and you know, he's pretty much picking at Peterson and running away, but whenever Peterson had him like in his grasp, I mean, he was pretty much hurting Khan, and you know, it was a close fight. I mean, it could have went either way,
mm-hmm.
but the point deductions weren't very, which just weren't very clear to me.
I don't know.
I thought the holding and the pushing down on the head were more egregious than the pushing, but the pushing was still, you know, unacceptable. It was still, you know,
right.
illegal, you know, against the rules. But I understand where you're coming from, and in a close fight like this, but nobody really gave. What I found interesting about it was nobody gave Peterson a shot.
Right.
And
right.
You know, he was right there in it, and not only did he have a shot that he was giving himself, but like he was the hometown favorite. And I didn't really know if that would play much of a factor just because of Khan, HBO, and Golden Boy. But, you know, maybe it did. Who knows? I don't know much about the Washington commissions, you know.
You know, kudos to Golden Boy for not really butting in on this, you know, on the judges and the decision. I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, I guess through the mainstream media, like the quote-unquote corruption in boxing, people think there's a lot of corruption in boxing. I think there's, you know, I got to give Golden Boy a lot of credit for not really butting in and, you know, just, let the judges decide what they decided. And, I mean, obviously, I don't think Golden Boy liked this decision at all. And
oh, no.
Yeah.
I literally saw a vein on, you know, De La Hoya's forehead, man, yelling and stuff, you know, because first it happens with Angulo, now Amir Khan, you know what I mean? So this was not a very good night for Golden Boy, and it hasn't been a good month for them, you know. It hasn't went their way.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens in the next coming weeks with this rematch. I think obviously it's something that should happen next for Khan and Peterson, and I don't know if it's gonna be in Washington. I'd be surprised if it is.
I highly doubt it. You know, you know what? If anything, Golden Boy is gonna go back and look at the tape, and they're gonna realize. There was something wrong already when the referee says, let's see some thunder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I doubt
that was
very
kind
much.
Of a script. Yeah, that was,
yeah
know,
you know
no.
what I mean? Hey, you know what's funny? I don't remember who said this on Leaving the Ring, but they said when you see a ref that starts throwing out a catch rate, it's yeah. Remember
yeah.
that you said that. You know, there's going to be something funny happening tonight, and we did. You know, you could say there was some stuff funny. You got some fight fans out there saying right now they didn't have a problem with the first deduction, but it was the second one on the 12th round that they had a problem with. You know, hey. Could be. I got to go back and watch it again because, like I said, I watched it with a lot of emotions. I was literally, my voice is almost gone, yelling my head off, rooting for Peterson, even though I picked against him. And, I, you know, now I'll eat crow about that. But, man, what a great fight. It was such a, and Seth Mitchell, too, came out and, you know, scored his knockout, you know, an American heavyweight comes out on the scene on the big the big screen and shows that there are still Americans out there that are hungry to be a heavyweight. But there's been a line of upsets. David Lemieux loses tonight. Same thing with Giovanni Segura. And now you got Amir Khan. All three of them, they say it comes by threes. You know, and I did tweet out a lot earlier before the fight. I said, third time a charm for Peterson. Guess what? Third time was a charm.
Dave, I got to give you credit, too. You texted me right before the fight, and you said Peterson's going to knock out Khan. And
yeah,
I did. You did. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, that's my new pick. So we, you did it privately with me, and I would have given you shit if, you know, either way. But
right, right.
It was the point in there where I was like, you know what? Dave's on to something. You know, when they were brawling in the fourth and the fifth, when Peterson landed that right hand and then later landed the left to the body and Khan just held on for dear life, he was ready to go. He was ready to go a few times.
He was in luck, though, that Peterson, really, he kind of gassed out, man. I saw him really just kind of slow down. And in a lot of ways, and this is the whole thing with Barry Hunter was on him, yelling at him. I think
he did a great job tonight.
He did a great job. And HBO really didn't capture what Barry was really telling him. You know, HBO was basically trying to say that Barry was saying, you know, you're not throwing enough punches, you're not doing this. What Barry was basically telling him was you're giving him moments. Stop giving him moments. Be on top of that, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Work that body. Jab your way in. But keep on him. Do not give him the space and do not give him the moments. Because more or less, those short moments that Amir would open up, you know, Barry was looking at it, they're going to score it for him. Because that's the home fighter. And even though it's in D.C., that's the home fighter for HBO, and he did a fantastic job.
Oh, he did, and he also kept reminding him just of, you know, how hard it was to get to this point.
Yep.
What's on the line? You know, you've got only so much time left. You know, he rode him in every way. You know, as a trainer, as a coach, you know, just pushing him forward to do the job. It was beautiful to watch. You know, it was some of Mandy Stewart's best work. It was reminiscent of. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Teddy Atlas, but without the theatrics. It was really tremendous. You know,
it was direct and stern, man, in what he was telling them. And you know what? There was so much honesty, and that's why I think that the sport of boxing, you literally just kind of fall over for, and you grab a hold of, because you see a lot of pureness out of the trainers and the fighters. You know, these were two guys that were definitely trying to leave it in the ring, you know, and they were trying everything they could to muster up a punch that would literally leave the other guy, you know, stretched out. But at the same time, you had trainers that were trying to, you know, bring life into them and keep life, you know, whatever they can just kind of push back in them, because whatever they drained out, they just try to pick it up and serve it back into them so they can go out there and give out a great performance, you know. So whoever you thought won this fight, or whatever controversy you thought, you go back, just turn down the volume, watch the fight, and get, you're guaranteed to get a good special fight to really end this year, man, to really end this year at a good note.
No, I totally agree, yeah. Dave. Yeah, and one thing about the trainer that you're saying, I think that it shows a lot of humanity in the corners when you see
right.
a trainer like Hunter just pretty much spilling his guts at the, I think it was the end of the 11th round, telling Peterson, like, hey, do you still want to go after your dream? Well, you have 3 minutes to do it. You know,
oh,
like,
I
what
know.
Are you going to do about it? You know, it's like,
yeah, what are you going to do about
wow.
it?
Dude, that gave me that gave me chills. You know what I mean? When I heard him say that, and it was a Rocky Balboa moment. That's what it was. It was a Rocky Balboa moment. You know, and people go, you know, everybody roots for the underdog. How could you not root for Peterson? This guy was really put out there to lose because he failed two times before. You know, how could you not see that this guy was giving the best performance of his career at this moment? That he was literally hanging off a thread, and he was literally showing you he wanted him more than Amir Khan. You had to root for the guy. There was no way you could sit back and not root for him and not go, you know what? Love him or not, give it to the kid. And that's what happened here tonight. They gave it to the kid. Now, I got to go back and see whether if it was well-deserved. But the way he fought, I got to tell you, man, the way he fought tonight, to me, at this moment, how I feel, it was well-deserved. I might change on Thursday, but right now, it was well-deserved.
He's a winner, no matter what.
There's a lot of guys going, damn it. You know, Robert the Ghost Sparrow, Bradley sitting at home shaking his head like, wow, really? You just lost. luckily, you know, he lost in a way that we want to see him again. I mean, I don't really want to see Khan fight the way he did tonight, like for all of those rounds. But there was a lot of action in there, and there was periods. Even Ali said, you can't fight, you know, 15 rounds, in this case 12, you can't fight hard every round. You got to take some off. And it's the guy that knows how to do which ones that wins. And Khan took some rounds off. He came back in others. But I think he faded out, and I think the body work really changed his mind about getting serious about winning the fight. He wanted to just outscore, you know, throw points out there.
Yep.
And shoe shines. And the judges rightly, to me, the thing is not so much that Peterson got the win off of the points from the ref. It's that they did score his defense and they did score his body punching. They gave him points for being more of a professional fighter in the way he throws his punches. That's pretty rare,
right,
to see in boxing anymore. You know, it was a very even fight, and other than the card for Khan, they really reflected it, you know, as it should be.
Absolutely. Ray, hey, thanks for calling in. Ray from Sweet Science, right? No, from...
Yes.
Yes.
No, the sweetscience.com, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Cool, thank you again.
Good fight. I appreciate it, guys.
You take care, brother. Bye. If you want to call in right now, fight fans, you sure can. Let's talk about Amir Khan versus Lamont Peterson. I didn't have a chance to watch the Segura fight, but, you know, I'm definitely going to sit down and watch that fight. And same thing with David Lemieux. So, hey, anyways, call in right now if you want. Let's get in another fight fan. Area code 718. What's up, brother? You're on live right now on Leave It in the Ring.
What's up? I guess that's me. What's
yeah,
up, Gabe? This is Steve.
Hey, what's up, Steve? How you doing, man?
Hey, okay. My take on the fight. Well, it was a close fight. Could have gone either way. The way I look at the point deduction, I thought that second knockdown that they called legit in the first or second round, whenever it was, to me that was bogus. It was Khan that got hit, and then he pushed Lamont down with his elbow. So as far as I'm concerned, that negates one of the points that was deducted, you know, later on. The way I look at it, that kind of evened out things. And the fight wouldn't have even been close if Khan hadn't laid on the ropes and got worked to his body like that. You know, I mean, he's talking all this stuff about what a champion he is and how he wants to fight Floyd and all this kind of stuff. He should know if he goes in the cat's hometown, he's going to have to take it to him, you know. And he had all that bravado and everything, and then in the middle rounds, he just laid on the rope and got worked. And to me, that was the difference in the fight. If he hadn't have done that, if he had fought like a champion instead of holding and running, he wouldn't have been crying in the end, you know, and that's just my basic take on it.
He, to me, reminded me of De La Hoya versus Trinidad. He kind of took away any argument that he could have for winning the fight, fighting the way that he did. I think Teddy Atlas said that, and I completely agree with it. When you kind of turn and run, and you start to kind of give what my brother Danny calls the illusion of fighting, where you're just throwing punches, but they're kind of get-away-from-me punches or kind of flashy for the judges' punches, but they're not really intended to do any damage. You leave yourself open to losing to the guy that's still trying to win and forcing the fight and landing good shots to the body coming upstairs. And that was Peterson, you know. The judge...
I thought Khan had the skills to win, but he just didn't show enough fortitude to me. I mean, he didn't seem like he wanted it bad enough until he realized it was slipping away. And by then, it was too late. I mean, Peterson had banked too many middle rounds.
Yeah. And he'd done so much damage to the body that, I mean, Khan was, like, you know, way over his front foot. You know, his ribcage was way back trying to throw some of those punches. Like, do not hit me in the body. You know, if I miss with my shot and take a hard one to the body, I'm out of here. That's how he was fighting. He doesn't have
good defense. He uses his legs for defense, but he doesn't. If you notice, Peterson was rolling. Khan barely rolled once with shots. He just, you know, tries to run back away from the shots and holds. And you know, to me, that's his defense, is holding. It's not blocking shots or turning with punches or shoulder roll. There's none of that. He just uses his feet to get away from fighters. And, you know,
like
I saw that with in the Madonna fight.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Same thing. And early on in this fight, he was doing the very amateurish thing that drives me crazy. He was turning sideways along the ropes, hands in the air, kind of just moving laterally to get away.
Right.
That, to me, was a sign of a guy that doesn't want to engage, doesn't really want to make a fight of this thing. He's just looking to move.
I thought, you know what, I got the whole thing when he was throwing the hands up in the air was pretty much like trying to tell Peterson, you're not hurting me, you're not getting to me. You know what I mean? I think that was
stuff,
the, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
That was the showboating stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's Manny Pacquiao stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He got that from Manny working, you know, sparring him and watching him do his thing. But it just didn't look that convincing in his fight.
Yeah, but Manny doesn't. Do you, I mean, when was the last time you saw Manny run like that?
I've never seen Manny run like that. You know, the only time I saw him do that was with Margarito on that sixth round when he started getting on that bike pedal when he got hurt.
You mean when he got hurt to the body?
Yeah, when he got hurt to the body, you know, and that was, you know what, and that was a smart move in his part. Amir, though, his was, you could say he was getting hurt a lot, but it was pretty much for him to get his win, I think, you know, when he was getting out of the way from Lamont's pressure.
Well, he came in with a lot of vibrato, and if he was the fighter that he thinks he is, it shouldn't have been that close. That's the way I look at it, you know.
No, definitely.
I mean, the fight,
you know,
you
I think
know, I don't
Amir,
think he's who he thinks he is.
Right, and I think Amir's a little bit of talking, it should have humbled him a little bit tonight, but it didn't. You know, listening to that post-interview, talking about being the cleaner fighter and this and that, you know, and calling out names at the moment that he should really settle down. And like we've talked about this, Gabe, here on Leaving the Ring, is that, you know, there's still fighters left at 140. You shouldn't leave 147. There's still business to attend. And absolutely what happened tonight with Peterson, guess what? It just proves the fact that you still have a lot of business left at 140.
Well, you don't need to overlook cats. I mean, the thing is that, you know, it's, although I do think he has more business calling out Floyd than somebody like Canelo, you know, but at the same you know, he's done more than that. But at the same time, like you said, he's overlooking everybody in his division. And
right.
Then he's jumping to the next division up and jumping to the top dog. I mean, come on. You know, you don't even work your way up to the guy. You're just going to jump to the top, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's always been that guy, though. He kind of calls everybody else's shots. You know, why don't you and you know, Devin Alexander fight? I will look on from above, for I am King Kong. And I'll wait and decide who I'm going to fight, who's most advantageous to me. He's always assigned that, even when Bradley was clearly the champion, you know. And this is the thing, too, you know, I guess we do a rematch now with either them, if they want the immediate rematch, or you can move to Bradley Peterson. But this speaks to Bradley's point, and he's always said this, that Con Bradley and Devin Alexander versus Bradley would have been bigger fights had they waited. And people were like, what do you mean by waiting? Well, we just got the unexpected. Khan just got beat by Peterson, who's lost to Bradley. Now, they've got to sort their thing out, and the winner of that, hopefully Bradley will take on somebody good in the meantime, and they'll all be primed and ready to face each other in a big fight. So that's mm-hmm. that's how it could get bigger. Tim was right on the money when he said that, you know, he needed to wait. It didn't need to be right now. You want to do it in front of 8,000 people, and who knows how many comps in Washington, D.C., or do you want to do it, you know, in front of 16,000 in Vegas with a bunch of people watching on pay-per-view?
That's one point of view, but, I mean, another point of view is, like, what happened with Aram's two cats when he waited too long, and then one of them ended up getting beat, you know. So, there's, you know, I think you look at it both ways, you know, because these guys, most of them are trying to make a lot of money, and let's face it, most of them aren't quite as good as they think they are. So
right.
There's so many good guys in the division that at any point anybody can get beat. That's the way I look at it. Khan was never head and shoulders over everybody else. He can move up to 147 and get beat by Berto or Ortiz. You know,
mm-hmm.
so I mean, so he's just not what he thinks he is. You know, and he has people around him, yes men, who are pumping him up, saying you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this. But they're not proving it in a ring.
Right. That's the thing, you know. I think I disagree with the school of thought that Juanma losing and, you know, Gamboa not, us missing out on that was, one, like a terrible thing, but and two, that, you know, we lost a super fight. Well, if one guy loses, is it really super? You know, how good was it
right.
going to be?
Right.
You know, to me, let's see what Juanma does from here, and if we work towards that fight. I mean, Bob is right. I mean, Gamboa's only got 21 fights, 22 fights now. He's still, you know, he's probably more advanced because of his background, but he hasn't been developed as a draw. I can't really hardly tell what they're trying to do with him. Now they got Manny Stewart in his corner. I think that we might have seen the best of Gamboa early on.
Let me say one more thing, Gabe. Let me ask you one more question, and then I'm not going to take everybody's time. But what do you think should happen when you have a hot prospect, like a Gamboa, a Khan, or whatever? Do you think that you should put him in with people who you know he can beat? Or do you think that you should challenge him somewhere in between? I mean, how would you propose moving a guy? Because, I mean, what the fans want to see is good fights. We don't like to see overmatched fights. You know, like the Bronner fight where you put him in with a guy that, you know, has no chance of winning.
And he's going to be right back on HBO. And, you know, I was watching Unforgivable Blackness last night. You know, Jack Johnson, like 14 years to get to the title. And he had to break through race barriers to do it and beat everybody under the sun to get there, like 50-something fights. And then he got the title. Mm-hmm. And you think of Adrian Bronner and how easy it was for him to get to a title. It's like second time on HBO. and he's got like 20 fights, barely, you know, if that. How I would do it, it depends on the fighter. I like the way Bruce Trampler does it. His philosophy is, you know, first-round knockouts, nothing. And so maybe you get a few of those in the beginning, five fights, then you start to step him up, guys that are going to extend him, or if his power is very real, he gets those guys out of there too, and you just kind of step it up. And you do.
I think after 15 fights.
Yeah, 15 fights, you give him something that he may not win. And if he does, you give him a soft one, and you kind of again. You know, it should be a gradual peeling back, you know, and moving forward process.
Exactly.
But it also depends on the guy, you know. Look at Oscar. They were very smart with him. They starved him down to 130. You pick up that title after a few fights. And people don't realize that Golden Boy didn't pick up Oscar until his eighth fight, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to promote himself and had failed at it. He played, you know, at the Olympics, like in front of empty houses. And then Top Rank got involved. And look at the way they developed him, all the guys he faced until they got to 147. They picked up all those belts where he was big and faster than everybody else and hit harder. Then they got to 147, and then you had your real fights.
Exactly.
Well,
the build-up was already there. Yeah, you know, I mean, he was built up as a guy that was going to knock you out with that left hook, and then finally at 147, you got to have that. You were able to find out exactly what he was really made out of, you know, and he was already at that time built up as a big, huge draw, potential star at the moment.
Right, right. Because nowadays, you usually only get a good fight when it's an upset. I mean, you know, I'm sure Darchinian's people thought that they were going to run over that guy, you know, that totally outboxed him. And I'm sure that Angulo's people thought that Kirkland was done after he lost to the Japanese guy, you know. And a lot of times we only get a good fight when people think it's safe to take that fight.
What's that?
No, I'm just saying that I think that we only get a good fight when people think it's safe to take the fight, like when Angulo's people took the Kirkland fight because they thought Kirkland was done. Or when Darchinian, you know, ran over that, you know, thought he was going to run over that dude, you know.
Oh, yeah. When guys think the coast is clear. Well, I think Vic had no choice, too. They had to do something with one of those guys. Vic needed a fight. Nobody else was there, you know, and so we got that, you know. But you're right. I mean, most guys, like Peterson, seem like the same choice. And the ironic thing, and Steve brought this up on the next round when this fight was announced. He was like, you know, Kong's talking about moving up. This is a mandatory defense. He could just drop the and decide to move to 147. He doesn't need to take this dangerous fight. And Kong did it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's kind of interesting. Bad decision-making, or they thought Peterson would be easy. You could just outwork it, and he'll be tame. I mean, and Golden Boy decides to take it to Washington. They've had a rough year. That's what I'm saying. Kirkland, you know, as much as... you know, I cheerlead the guy all the time. It's funny to me that they kind of ignore him. They haven't really done much with him. You haven't seen any interviews. You haven't seen him pushed.
Mm-hmm.
He's not at ringside at every fight. And yet he's probably the best guy in their stable right now, or at least the guy that hasn't lost recently. And he's more real than Canelo. I mean, Canelo sells tickets. It's going to be interesting to see how he does in Houston with Carlos Molina, which is a hell of a fight.
That's going to be a great, great fight, you know. Hey, Steve, thanks for calling in, brother. We're going to put you back on hold,
okay?
Thanks,
you guys
Steve.
Take care.
You too, man.
You too, man.
It's you know, you always love to see what the boxing heads are out there tweeting or putting on Facebook. And Wordsuno put up, because we were talking about the success of what's been going on with the wild card fighters, and he said, did Chavez Jr. just have the best year of all the wild card fighters?
Oh, my God.
And I said, yeah, but you had to kind of look at the opponents that Chavez Jr. was facing to be successful, where the other guys were facing some top guys, you know, in the ring here. And let's pass it to some other fight fans. You want to call in? You certainly can. 347-215-7598. Let's patch in area code. Remember, Mr. David Chan, our producer, is not on live with us, so he's not going to be able to put you in a private chat room. So I apologize if I don't call you by your name. I'm going to call you by the area code. So area code 408, you're on live right now and leaving the ring. What's on your mind, brother? Area code 408. Hello? No? Okay, let's pass on now.
Fired.
You know, we're getting some the PR, Robert the Ghost Guerrero, hit me up saying, hey, you know, would you guys like to get Robert on? I said, yeah. So we think he's still trying to get a hold of Robert so we can get him on, because I've seen Robert on Twitter. I was talking about that a little earlier, about how the fact that he wanted to expose Amir Khan. So it would be nice to see if we can get a hold of him. I know it's a little late, but let's see what we can do. I did text Barry Hunter and let him know congratulations. He hit me back. I didn't ask him to. Hey, you want, if you have a chance, come on live right now with us on Leaving the Ring. He says he's going to try his best. So we'll sit back and wait there to see what happens. Again, we want to call in 347-215-7598. Again, I apologize that Mr. David Chan is not on with us to get you in a private chat room, get your name, and see what you want to talk about. But we're talking about Lamont Peterson win over Amir Khan. Upset, of course it's an upset. A few people are saying upset. You think so? Yes, because nobody was picking Lamont Peterson to win tonight on Saturday night on HBO. You know what, man? You know the one thing? This is what kind of changed my mind just a little bit, but I still was sticking to my prediction. Was I went back and decided to look at that Victor Caio fight. And that overhand right that he was throwing that was landing, I went back and go, man, how did I miss that? You know, because that's the one shot that Amir has no defense for. And you saw it land repeatedly throughout the whole fight, you know, and that was one of the big problems. And you know, and that's when we saw Amir Khan raise his gloves up, or he would shake his head. But to me, that was just telling the judges, you know, we go back and we talk about a poker face, like with Kermit Cintron, you know, those things need to be taught. You don't shake your head and you don't make these faces, or you don't go, oh, you didn't hurt me, because to me, that swayed judges to do a little bit more of them, swaying them a little bit more of going like, oh, okay, he lost this round because, you know, he's being vocal, or he's showing weakness at that point. So those things right there, I think that could have really hurt Amir in the fight. I think he should have not done that, you know, and he should have really just fought. Another thing, too, that I thought really didn't look too good for him is that, I don't know about you, Gabe, but to me, he looked at the ref for help a lot.
He did. He did, like, way too much. You know, it was just like anytime anything went on, he looked over to the ref. And that, to me, is a guy that he needs help. You know, like you said, he was
right.
Like he was 2-on-1, but he would have preferred it if it was 2-on-1. I just thought it was very, you know, it was very interesting in terms of how the fight kind of changed throughout. You know, it had some shifts. You know, Khan came back. I'm looking this up right now. Freddie Roach is up for Trainer of the Year.
Don't
Boxing
do it.
Boxing Writers Association of America.
How many times has he been on there, man? You know, as Trainer of the Year. Come on. Come on. Give somebody else a shot, you know? Ridiculous.
Yeah, 13 votes is the most votes of anybody.
Wow. Wow.
To be nominated, to be on the list, not in terms of who voted for him.
Let me get let's patch in some other fight fans have been holding on hold patiently. Let's get, again, like I said, I'm going to say area code. We don't have Mr. David Chan to put you in a private chat room to get your name. So please listen to your area code. Area code 330, you're on live right now on Leave It in the Ring.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Warren from Akron.
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Doing fine, man. I just wanted to want to first off say I listen to your show all the time. You got me through a lot of mornings. I work early in the morning. I listen to you guys on Friday morning. So I just want to say thanks for the good show.
Hey, man, we appreciate
you.
Hey, we appreciate you tuning in, brother.
Yeah, I just want a few comments on the fight. I thought it was finally Peterson's just too. I thought he kind of came back on Victor Ortiz. When he fought Victor Ortiz, I thought that could have gone either way. But Khan just really didn't have nothing for Peterson today. He couldn't adjust at all. The inside was killing him every time to the body. He had no blocking for the uppercut, and Peterson just had better defense. Overall, defense might have won in the fight.
I'm sorry, brother. You were breaking up. What did you say at the end?
I said Peterson's defense might have been the edge that won him the fight. Besides,
you know,
the points.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, they weren't giving him enough credit, and I know the commentators weren't. They were, you know, and they do this all the time, though. You know, where you land on the glove, they make it like, oh, he just landed a big right, rather than really calling what Peterson was doing. He was parrying off the shots, and he was, you know, really using the shoulder to roll. He was going underneath punches, and even Khan was doing some goodness in his defense, but more of the defense was on the bicycle. And that to me was kind of funny when you have Letterman, who literally didn't really score anything for Wamama Marquez a few weeks back, where he's scoring everything for Amir Khan. And he's not once saying that, you know, he's running. He's running. He's not doing anything. It doesn't look like he wants to win this fight. I found that a little funny. Go ahead.
I'm getting tired of HBO. You know, Showtime isn't as bad, but HBO has just gotten ridiculous over. So it's just, you know what, it's been like the past year, but it's really been bad the past, I'd say since September.
It's getting worse. It's starting
horrible.
To get really, really, really bad, man. Where it's just like, to me, it's basically the middle finger to the hardcore fight fans that really have kept this sport to where it's at. You know, I mean, show us some respect a little bit. I mean, they're literally calling the fight like we're idiots, like we can't see with our own eyes, and that's the thing that kind of gets me kind of boiled up. Where, you know, maybe they do make a good point, but we're not going to see it because we're so ticked off about the rest of the stuff that's been kind of meshed out.
You know, Letterman, he's just gotten ridiculous, especially over the past two big fights that I've watched. He's just
right.
I haven't agreed with him at all. I used to like Max, but Max even's becoming a little homer now. I can't even really. He's like the least most one out of all. Lampley, I can't. I'll never listen to Lampley.
Lampley's that one kid that you know at school that tells all the big stories and nobody really pays attention to. You know what I mean? Max is the one kid that used to be popular, but all of a sudden, you know, he did something too dumb, ran into a pole, and we just lost everything for him. Every respect that we had is just out the door, man. I mean, you know.
He's ready to take Merchant's spot, so he had to calm it down a little bit. So.
Yeah, he did. Hey, Warren, thanks very much, brother, for calling in. I want to put you back on hold, okay?
All right, you guys keep up with a good job. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you, man. Let's keep it rolling, man. Let's get some other fight fans that want to talk boxing here on Leaving the Ring. I'm gonna call out your area code again. I apologize that we're not able to put you in a private chat, but our producer David Chen is not with us. So let's go. Let me see. Hold on. My bad. Area code 408. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
How's it going, Dave? Bob Santos, Robert Guerrero's manager.
Hey, Bob, how you doing, brother?
Good. Just wanted to call into the show, and I thought it was an interesting fight tonight. You know, with all the so-called experts all picking Amir Khan, there was one guy that happened to pick Peterson, and that was Robert Guerrero.
Did Robert pick Peterson to win that fight? I didn't get to see him.
He actually put his pick in with Boxing Scene, and when he basically, you know, a lot of people saying, oh, you're just hating on him, this, that, and the other thing. But I mean, if you go to Boxing Scene, he called it to the T.
Really?
I mean, he called it to the T. And I mean, at the end of the day, you know, he had Ortiz beating Berto. He had Juan Manuel Marquez beating Pacquiao. We all know, I think we all think the judges
got it wrong in that one, and he kicked the Peterson one. I mean, he said Khan coming out fast and quick, and with Lamont closing the gap and coming down the stretch to win a close decision. And it just goes to show you, you know, every expert, not one of them, to my knowledge, picked Peterson, and that's why you make the fights. That's why when people say, oh, this fight shouldn't happen, that fight shouldn't, well, that's what makes sports great, is things happen that you don't expect. And what needs to happen more in boxing is people stop talking about, oh, he doesn't deserve this fight, this guy shouldn't fight that. Just make the fights. Instead of people going on vacation for 2 years, get in the ring and let's start fighting every 3 or 4 months and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah. No, definitely. You know, but you know, the one thing about this one here with Peterson is that, you know, we talked about it where, you know, and I said it, I thought a lot of folks were undermining what Peterson brought to the table. You know, this is a tough guy. And, you know, last time we saw him, the two times where he lost, there were competitive fights, you know, and he never gave up trying, but he did bring a different style in with Ortiz and Bradley, where that was not familiar with them. I think now, finally, with Khan and when he fought Victor Kyle, was that familiar style that he was bringing to the table now became more familiar with him. He became more comfortable. And I saw that with this fight here, where he was coming forward and he really didn't panic. And like I said before, he didn't run into shots. He was a little bit more patient about closing the distance, and he was a little bit more ready to see what was coming at him, where when he fought Bradley and Ortiz, he didn't see any of the punches that came at him. He walked right into him, man. It was a great fight. You know, great fight. Let me ask you this, though. When you see this happen, Peterson, and this was a fight that Robert and yourself, you guys wanted, even though you guys, you know, Guerrero picked him to win, what is your thoughts, though? Is it like, you know, because obviously I'm not a manager, but the mind frame of what you're thinking, is it like, oh, man, you know, you see, there goes a really good payday?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, things of that nature happen. It's funny because I was just with Richard Schaefer on Saturday, and I had told him, you know, we were talking about maybe Guerrero fighting Morales or Madania, and I told him, look, we want Khan, and he had just basically said, you know, he didn't know if that fight could be made or whatever the case may be, but at the end of the day, I basically said, look, whether Morales or Khan, it makes no difference. Guerrero's going to beat either one of them. And we kind of felt going into this fight, unfortunately, Peterson was going to beat him because, I again, from our vantage point, I think Khan, he's still an amateur-style fighter. Four-round fights, the guy's going to be tremendous. But going down the stretch, I've seen it with Madania. He just runs, holds.
Right.
And if he gets in there with a guy that can really punch, let me tell you something, take note, nothing away from Lamont Peterson. He's not the puncher that Robert Guerrero is. And Robert Guerrero can move, and at that weight, you know, he can get on the inside of him. He can move, he can punch. Madania's a good puncher, but he's slow. Lamont Peterson, he's got better speed, but he's not the biggest puncher in the world. Guerrero has good foot speed, and he could get to him. That's why we always felt so confident that we would beat an Amir Khan, that it wasn't going to be that difficult of a fight. You got to weather the storm the first three or four rounds and go from there.
What does this leave you guys, though, Bob? I mean, do you think Amir showed that? I mean, I think they're going to go straight to a rematch, wouldn't you say?
Oh, no doubt about it, because, you know, he's their cash cow. They got to build him because they're making money with him out of England. And at the end of the day, it is a business, but, you know, realistically, if Amir Khan was here in the United States and he didn't have that backing of the English money, I think any insider, whether it's Cameron Duncan or any of those guys, would tell you a guy like Guerrero is a better fighter than Khan. He's more polished. He can fight on the inside. He can fight on the outside. And Khan's the type of fighter, though, too, that I feel, too, once his reflexes go to any shape or form of degree, he won't be around the sport for long because he can't fight on the inside.
He shows
no ability to fight on the inside. And so if anybody can get to him where the fight slows down, he's done. And that was proven tonight. And what's he going to do with a guy that can punch? And what do you think they picked Peterson? Because they don't think he's that big of a puncher.
He was a mandatory decision.
defense so he could keep the IBF belt.
Well, let me tell you this. Well, let me rephrase that then. They tried to get him for the McCaskey fight or whatever it was down there. They wanted Peterson to fight him even before
right.
he was the mandatory. Okay,
right.
So even
no,
though he was
a
the mandatory, they wanted him to fight before, even before that. Why? Because they know he's not that big of a puncher. That's why they didn't feel too bad going into
thing.
The fight with Brad. Not a big puncher.
But this is my thing, and I have all the respect in the world for you, for Robert, what he's done. But what are you guys going to do in the meantime?
Well, the meantime is, I mean, look, at the end of the day, you take on the best possible challenge that's available to you. And so, obviously, Robert will be back in the gym. He's already been doing all his conditioning. He'll be back in the gym in the next 2 weeks sparring. And so we wait and see what Golden Boy is going to have to offer for us, and we're going to take on the best possible challenge. Just like when we were offered Morales and Madonna, we took the challenge of Madonna, and we'll do the same thing. So we'll take on the best available challenge that they can put forth for us.
Do you think this kind of moves you ahead in a sense? Because now Bradley Khan, you know, unless Khan redeems himself, gets the belt back and fixes that storyline, that fight's kind of up in the air. Considering you guys are with Golden Boy, do you think that moves you up in the rankings to get at, say, Tim Bradley in a fight? Or do you think that Cold War is just too much to overcome?
You know, I really couldn't speak to that. I'm sure, obviously, Bradley would do the fight. We would do the fight. Again, the powers that be, though, sometimes, you know, I don't know. I just to be honest with you, I just don't know. But one thing I do know is that, like I've said before, I know Robert's willing to take on the best possible challenges, and that's all we can do is tell our promoter, like we had told him, we wanted to fight Khan. He fought Jab Judah. We wanted to fight these types of fights, and at the end of the day, you know, there's only so much you can do without two parties being willing to come to the table.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, real quickly, too, if you look at Marquez, like I said, I don't know how long we tried to get Marquez in the ring.
Right.
So it's just, I think the biggest problem I see with boxing, and the one credit, and I hate to say this, but I will say it, like with UFC, if you lose, it's not so damaging. So these
right.
guys are willing to fight more. And in boxing, the stock drops so much, and that's kind of an unfortunate thing to a degree because a lot of these guys are not willing to put their fighters in dangerous fights.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. You look at James Kirkland. I mean, who's
going
to really want to put their fighter in with James Kirkland after what they just seen there? And it's just it's the sad part of the sport.
Well, let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this.
Why stay with Golden Boy? I mean, right at this moment right now, you know, what I'm hearing from you is basically Golden Boy is not willing to put any front for Robert the Ghost Guerrero. They're protecting Amir Khan. In so many words, that's what I'm hearing from you. So why stick around? Why not do what Marquez did, which was leave Golden Boy to pursue the bigger fights because it left him more of a free agent? Same thing with Timothy Bradley. You know, he left Gary Shaw not because he wasn't getting the fights, but the money thing was an issue. But with you guys, it seems like all the guys that are in the Golden Boy stable, Golden Boy's not willing to serve him on a platter for you guys. So why stick around
well,
with a promoter
I mean, I'll,
that you're fighting?
I'll say this. I'll say mm-hmm. this. One, when you sign a contract, to me, you got to fulfill that contract, and we signed a contract, and we got a little bit of time left on it. You got to fulfill the contract and always look, you know, at a best case scenario. I will say this, though. In the case of Juan Manuel Marquez, I know Richard Schaefer specifically very hard. He tried diligently to make that fight with Marquez.
Mm-hmm.
On multiple occasions, and you know, but at the end of the day, you can't put a gun to somebody else's manager or him and force them to fight.
But are they
as
doing that for your fighter,
as you can
though?
Put on, I mean, there's only so much that you can do, and if they're not willing to get in the ring with you, Juan Diaz is a prime example. I mean, we tried everything known to man to get in the ring with him. That never happened. We tried everything known to man to get in the ring with Rocky Juarez. That never happened. We tried everything to get in the ring with Marquez. So
but that's you, Bob.
you know.
Well,
so.
But that's you that tries everything. I'm asking you, are they trying everything? Because
I can only go by what Richard Schaefer and Eric Gomez, our matchmaker, tells us about them. You know, putting us on the table, on the forefront, offering them. Offering that fight. I know from what they had told me that HBO had offered Marquez one of his biggest paydays to get in the ring with Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever
reason, he decided to go another
direction. And this was before he could fight Pacquiao, because during that time, he still had like a year and a half left on his contract. So,
right.
I mean, you just, at the end of the day, what can you do?
Here's one for you. I think it's a great fight. I think it's better than the Maidana fight. Lucas Matisse, he just won this weekend tune-up fight. He's back in the swing of things after having to, you know, drop out because he was sick. That's a hell of an action fight.
That is a great
fight. Both sides.
Yeah.
Would you guys be interested in something like that?
Yeah, no, look, again, no doubt about it, Robert wants to prove that he's the best. And like I said, when we had the choice to fight Morales or Madonna, we picked Madonna. So that, I think that tells you everything about who Robert Guerrero is as a fighter. Obviously,
right.
He had just beat Morales. Obviously, it's a much more lucrative fight, though, to fight Morales. We could sell that out here in the Bay Area with Morales and Guerrero, so obviously it's a more lucrative fight. Which fight did he take? The tougher fight, because obviously he wants to prove to the people that he is a pound-for-pound guy, that he has been sidestepped. And sometimes that's why he wanted to take a fight like that, to dominate a Madonna and say, look what I did to him as opposed to Amir Khan. And we felt very confident going into that fight in camp that we were going to dominate him. And then we could make that statement, you know what I mean? But sometimes, unfortunately, the timing wasn't right, you know, and he had to pull out with the shoulder injury. But, again, when you look at when we couldn't get the Marquez fight, we took the toughest available fight, which was Cassidy's. And as far as I'm concerned, we beat Cassidy's much easier than Marquez did. Marquez was very close to getting knocked out in that fight. And I think Cassidy's landed more punches on Marquez in the first six rounds than he landed in 12 on Guerrero. So I think that was a statement to a degree. But for whatever reason, that was lost in the fanfare of what Eric Morales was able to accomplish with Madonna. So it's just one of those things.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope you guys, you know, make a fight soon, and I'd like to see Matisse. I mean, he's the one guy that, you know, Morales has already picked his dance partner, and Danny Garcia. You know, the Khan just fought. He's going to probably go back to a rematch. Bradley's the top rank. To me, he's the logical choice, last man standing at 140 to make a statement against, because there's a good measuring stick there. I mean, you take him out better than, you know, in a clearer fashion and actually, you know, win the fight as opposed to what Devin Alexander did. Or, you know, you edge him out better than Dab Judah did. And that's, both of those are good measuring sticks.
No doubt about it. You want to take on, like I said, we never ducked anybody, you know, going overseas, doing this. I mean, we've tried to get in the ring with so many people that it's just amazing. But at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, if that's a fight that Golden Boy can put together for us, definitely.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great fight.
Man, they need to, you know, they really need to start backing up Robert, you know. I could definitely see you guys moving on somewhere else where the fights need to be made for him, you know. Hey, Bob, thanks again, brother, for calling in. We're going to put you on hold, brother. We got to patch in a bunch of fight fans are on hold.
Thank you, man. It was tremendous to talk to both of you guys, and we'll be seeing you soon. God bless.
Hey, thank you, too, brother.
You too. Take care.
Bob Santos, the manager of Robert the Ghost Guerrero, calling in, letting us know that Robert did pick Lamont Peterson to beat Amir Khan, you know, and frustration there, you can hear from them, you know, they're just not getting any love from the Golden Boy stable. And, you know, like I said, mentioned earlier, might be time that when that contract runs out and Golden Boy's not holding up to their end of the bargain, it might be time for the Ghost to ghost Golden Boy Promotions. But let's pass it to some other fight fans, man. I want to talk boxing. Again, if I apologize for not calling you by your first name, but we don't have David Chen tonight to put you in a private chat room to ask you your name and what you want to talk about. So I'm going to call off the area code. So please listen up. Area code 818. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
What's going on, D?
What's going on? Is this D?
Yes, sir.
What's up, brother? How you doing, man? So who did you have winning the fight? Who did you have?
You know what? I actually had Lamont up, man. I had Lamont winning the fight by one or two rounds. You know, it was definitely, you know, taking nothing away from either fighter. You know, it was definitely a great entertaining fight, you know. But coming from a fighter's point of view, you know, you look at, I guess, everybody is the big talk right now is the referee taking deducting 2 points from Amir for pushing. Now, you know, I really can't disagree with the referee. You know, the referee job is to handle the fight, you know. Now, he deducted a point early in the fight for Amir, dropping Lamont, which I really didn't believe it was, you know, should have been a count.
Right.
You know. With that being said, you know, that could have either been a draw or could have been either way. You know.
Right.
I just don't like the fact that, you know, the fans and, you know, people that don't really know boxing, you know, all they see is what's going on in the ring, and they hear and get entertained from what people are saying, taken away from not only just the victory of Lamont, but the fight itself. Fights like that will put boxing back on the map.
Yep.
You know, that was a great fight that was put on by both fighters, and, you know, I thought, you know, Lamont did a great job. You know, he didn't fought these top guys. He always seemed to fall a little short, you know. So for him to, you know, step up to the plate again and actually, you know, come with the victory, you know, I feel like I won the world title. You know, came up together, and I'm super happy for him. You know, it is what it is. And, hey, that's boxing, baby.
Yep.
Yes, the close, tough fight, you know, the ref, I guess, decided it, but, you know, Khan decided it by fighting the way he did, and it's the things he was doing were not legal. He was warned. He was warned multiple times. He can say whatever he wants, but it was on HBO. We all saw it, and that's just the way it goes. I'm stoked for Lamont Peterson, man. I mean, that's just from where he's come from to get to this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is just awesome. It reminded me of that, have you seen that fake promo video for HBO, you know, The Heart and Soul of Boxing?
Oh, yeah.
He kind of looks like the dude that's on there, you know, and the homeless guy that saves his change and starts training and the music and everything, and then, you know,
exactly,
he has his fight.
And I agree.
It's just awesome. And, you know, I think the Golden Boy and Khan should be more sporting. You know, tough
you know, yeah,
fight. You decided to fight in his hometown. Didn't go your way. What'd you expect? You know,
absolutely. You know, and
do it again.
Yeah, like I said, one thing you can't knock the fighters, you know. Lamont immediately, being a fighter, knowing the fight was close, he said, you know what, it was a great fight. I felt I pulled it out, but, you know, I would love a rematch. Giving the man, as a champion, giving
yep.
the man an opportunity to redeem himself as a champion should, you know.
Well, let me ask you this, as a fighter here, D, as a fighter, okay, when you – because you're absolutely right. We always love our fighters to be humble and say, you know what, it was close. I'll give the man a rematch. And that tells you that he's a complete fighter. That's a warrior right there. But when you hear the other guy complain and he's like, I was a clean fighter, how does that set with you? How does it sit with you, being that you're a fighter and you're hearing a guy you complaining about the situation that he basically created himself?
You know, that's a good question, you know, because you sit back and, you know, I'm a lot like Lamont in the aspect of, you know what, yes, it was a close fight, you know, I'd love to do it again, you know. But then, like you said, turn around and Amir says, man, it's a hometown decision. This guy is a bum, and I lost to the referee, you know. That not only takes away from the fight entirely, you know, but that takes away from not the new champion, but that takes away from Amir's performance, you know, because now people
right.
are watching the fight to see, okay, what were the good things and what were the bad things, you know, what were the mistakes that the fighters made, then I've been watching the fight no more. Now I'm not watching the referee. You know? So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you win some, you lose some. For example, when I got my draw, you know, I could have easily said, uh-oh, you know, the referees and this, that, and the other. And no, you know, you only as good as you're going to accept. You know, I accepted my draw. This is what I did wrong. This is what I did right. This is what we need to work on. Now we move on and get better. You know, and I think that's exactly what Amir needs to do. Hey, you know, the close fight, these are the things I did that was wrong. These
right.
are the things that I executed on. These are the things I need to go back to the drawing board to do that way I can execute it again now that the new champion have given me the opportunity to fight again. You know,
absolutely.
I mean, beating Amir, you know, you have Timothy Bradley. Now you have Lamont. You have the Ghost. Lamont could easily say, you know what, I'll come back to you after I fight Timmy again.
Right, exactly.
You know?
And you know what? It put him in. Honestly, I was thinking that. Yeah, I was thinking automatically. He wins this fight. To me, he proved he deserves a rematch with Timothy, or he deserves a bigger payday or more cash. You know, I mean, that's what
Absolutely.
The thing is right now. I know everybody's talking rematch, but I think at the heat of the moment, I think when Lamont and his team finally kind of come down from the high, they're gonna really have to really think this out and go, you know what? There's gonna be a bit of a tug of war because. In how I'm looking at this, and you're seeing Oscar De La Hoya putting out there on his Twitter account, you know, what was the ref thinking? I think that they're really going to be gearing up for a little revenge here. You know what I mean? Where something really backfired because there was a few people that were saying in the beginning when this fight was being materialized, they were saying, really? Like, you guys are going to go to Washington? I think even you mentioned that, Gabriel. They were like, I'm a little surprised they're going to go to Washington when you know, he could pick anywhere else. But I just...
Not really, though. That's the problem.
Right.
Khan's not exactly a draw. So he doesn't really have his pick. They went to Washington because they had to go to Washington.
Right, because
you
of
know,
the fact that the Monster hometown fighter there, and they knew there was going to be a packed house. They were going to have a lot of D.C. fans out there.
I'm not sure if there's a rule. It just kind of occurred to me. I think there might be a rule that there are no rematch clauses with mandatory defenses. So there might not be a rematch clause.
That's what I'm saying. I think there's a lot of emotions right now talking about rematches, but I think in the long run, man, a lot of us are going to be really surprised to hear that there might not be one. You know, I think at the end of the day, Lamont is in the position to really kind of pick where he wants to do next, you know, and I think
absolutely.
He should
I
take
agree.
A little bit of advantage of it. You know what I mean? Take a little, you know, I mean, if they say, if I was managing the kid and they came around and said, hey, we want to fight in Great Britain, I would be like, no, man, that's not a good move for us. You know,
yeah.
let's do it somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? And money. Hey, let's talk a little bit about more money. You know, automatically, Amir Khan got the bigger purse and Lamont was just basically getting the, you know, cut of the cheese, slices
right.
of the cheese. You know what I'm saying? Some shredded cheese in this fight.
Yeah, I agree, you know, and being that, like you said, I believe this fight here, you know, put him in a position where, okay, you already fought Timothy Bradley. You fell short. You
right.
fought Victor Ortiz. You fell short. Okay, you fought who a lot of people consider, quote-unquote, the top in the division, and you beat him. Okay, now, who's the next dude at the top of the division? Timothy Bradley. Who else has a title in the division? Timothy Bradley. You already fought Timothy. I'm pretty sure he wanted to revenge that loss as well, just as Amir wanted to revenge his loss. What would make more sense, not only financially, but career-wise? You know?
Right.
I mean, absolutely. You know, be a champion. It was a great fight. Give Amir a rematch. No problem. However, career-wise, I have no problem giving you a rematch, but if I turn around and give you a rematch now, I'm going backwards. I need to go forward and revenge this loss that I had to Timothy Bradley. He also has something that I can fight for, the unification of the title.
And I think that would make more sense.
I think so, too. You know, I definitely think so. Well, Mr. Livingston, thank you very much for calling in, brother. It's always a pleasure when you call. Hey, let me ask you real quick. When are you getting back in the ring, man?
It looks like Mario's working on having us go. It looks like December 30th right now. It looks like we're going to be on the same card as Taylor and Darrell. So we hoping that goes through. You know, we grinding, trying to grind it out, getting ready, man. So we looking for not just a big year in 2012, but an explosive year in 2012.
I gotta make my way out to you, man, to take some pictures and do some video with you and stuff. Cause I got you. You're in our January issue that's going to be coming out on the 1st as one of the prospects and contenders to keep an eye out for in the magazine.
Sweet, I appreciate it. Absolutely.
All right, brother.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks again, man. Yeah.
I appreciate it, fellas.
I'll give you a call tomorrow, man, during the morning, and we'll set something up. Donnell, thank you again, brother, for calling in.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good night.
You too, brother.
You too. This is interesting, a side note to tonight, has nothing to do with tonight. The Major League Baseball player, Ryan Braun, tested positive for synthetic testosterone. And he was caught using the carbon isotope ratio testing that I'm always talking about on the show.
Right.
How
was he caught?
And this is the theory of the person that broke this to me. That he was caught using this testing. They probably found an elevated TE ratio or a suspicious test, probably, you know, some sort of, I'm not really sure, that I'm getting text right now. This is what they said, maybe an elevated TE ratio or suspicious test near the allowable limit, and they decided to use CIR testing, which is the carbon isotope ratio testing, to do a follow-up, and boom, they caught him. He's using synthetic testosterone.
Explain to the guys like myself that really don't know what that testing is, Gabe, so that we can kind of have more of a clear picture of what you're talking about.
I have to get Victor Conte on to really explain it in layman's terms. Basically, the first test kind of measures testosterone levels.
The blood cells, right? The red blood cells?
No, that's EPO.
Okay.
Testosterone's like, you know, it's what makes you stronger, faster.
Right.
It's what you stop producing after age 28. So it kind of helps you a little more youthful, stronger muscles, stronger sinews, tendons. So it's an advantage, you know, in any sport. You know, the guys are getting the exemption for it so they can take testosterone and boost themselves. It's starting to happen in the UFC. And it's what I think, you know, this and EPO is what boxers that cheat are probably using. So they check the testosterone levels, it's a little bit too high. And then this carbon isotope ratio testing, I couldn't tell you how it works. I'm still learning. I'm still getting the tutorial on it. But basically, it's a test used to determine if it's a synthetic testosterone. So they don't really use it. They use it as like a backup, like a clarifier is how they use it in this case. And so they're able to narrow it down and find it based on this other test.
Right.
Right now, USADA generally just uses the one test, the first test. And when VADA goes online, if that does, the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association that Berto was talking about, they're going to be using this CRI testing in conjunction with the first type of test. So it's just kind of a nice little victory for this test that not a lot of people are using. And yet, it's, when used in conjunction with the other one, makes everything kind of almost foolproof in terms of catching cheats. So kind of a victory for the drug war tonight. Kind of
yeah.
Chip.
You know, a chip on that big, big rock for the drug war. You know, let's patch in some other fight fans, and then we're going to call it a night, man. I'm getting a little slow and tired here. But let's keep it up. Let's see if people keep calling in. I guess we're going to have to run the whole next hour and a half here on Leaving the Ring. You know, 3 hours of boxing talk. We weren't expecting to do 3 hours of boxing talk. But, hey. What do we say? Let's go with area code 203. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, this is Robert in Columbus. Yeah, you guys are always you're always serving the people if you're going this long. I was just curious. Gabe was kind of addressing this during the previous call, but I hadn't heard much about the, arrangements of this contract for this fight, because I remember even beyond the money split for Peterson, a huge issue when they were negotiating back in April was the options Khan's promotional outfit was going to have on McCloskey or Peterson for future fights. So I was wondering, did this come up at all? I mean, I imagine Peterson obviously was in a much more advantageous position because of the mandatory status, but I hadn't heard anything about this, so I didn't know if you guys had.
No, I'm trying to find out right now.
Right.
That's kind of, to me, the big question, you know. Is he obligated to fight him again? Because if he's not, I mean, yeah, it's a good fight. But, you know, Andre Berto went and fought another fight. Victor Ortiz moved on. They didn't have to necessarily do it again. And it was, you know, it was a close fight. They didn't have to do it again immediately. So maybe Khan's got to get back in line a little bit. I think it's a good thing for him.
The only thing is that with Andre Berto, he's in the position where he was able to take another fight rather than immediately going for a rematch because Al Heyman's on his corner. Peterson doesn't have anything like that. Where if he was to take another fight, I can pretty much guarantee it's not going to be on HBO. I don't think HBO would buy it or want it because they're going to be pressing for their house fighter Amir Khan to get that rematch to be on HBO. That's the only thing I see might be a problem. I see HBO bullying Lamont Peterson to take that rematch immediately.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to him deciding whether or not to bow to that pressure and kind of say, well, I got the belt. It's also going to be, you know, how do the sanctioning bodies treat this win? Do they order an immediate rematch? You know, he fought for their belts, and he's not the money man. It's going to be interesting to see how the powers that be, if they allow him to be champion, or if they force him in a position where he's got to defend it against Khan. So, the next week will be very funny. This shows how little I know about baseball. Ryan Braun is, you know, some baseball player, as I just called him, the National League MVP. He's the guy that got caught. And what my source basically is saying with what a victory this is, is that
right.
It basically exposes MLB testing, which is supposed to be the gold standard of major sports testing, is having a huge loophole in it. And then if you don't use the CRA testing, you're not going to catch anybody. First time they do it, they catch somebody.
Well, has he come up with the excuse that his trainer did something without his knowledge or whatever, that everyone who ever tests positive, that's always kind of the back pocket reason they tested positive. Oh, I didn't know it was going to what was in whatever I was taking.
Yeah, he tripped and accidentally injected something in my ass. It was freezing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In my stomach. And then he was saving my blood in the fridge. It was really weird. And he kept infusing me with it. Yeah. We haven't seen any of the denials yet. The story's just kind of breaking. But it's a pretty major story.
I'm sure he'll be the real victim within a week or so.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Not even a week. I'd give it like 72 hours, you know. They'll come up with something. A good publicist will come up with something good, you know. Hey, Robert, thanks for calling in, brother. I'm going to put you back on hold, okay?
Thanks a lot.
There you go, Boxing Edge. If you want to call in, you certainly can. 347-215-7598. To the UK listeners, I apologize for saying that I'm tired. It's 7 a.m. over there, and they're running strong listening to Leaving in the Ring, and we're complaining here, Gabe. Shame on us, man. So let me get another Pepsi here and down it, and let me get me back up in the mood to talk some more boxing here on Leaving in the Ring. But let's pass in some fight fans who want to talk about Amir Khan and Peterson or anything else they want to talk about here on Leaving in the Ring. So let's go with area code 210. You're live right now on Leaving the Ring.
Hello?
Hello? What's up, brother? You're on live right now.
Oh, hey, yeah, y'all got me already. This is Rod. I'm listening. I'm just listening into the rest of the show.
Oh, man, my bad, brother. You know, we don't got Dave here today, so nobody's checking the switchboard, man. I was going to say, I heard a little girl in the background. I was going to say it was the first time for Leaving a Ring to have a little girl call in and talk to us boxing here, you know?
Oh, yeah. You know, I got to sit in a room, play with the toys. I got to listen in on my phone, you know what I mean? I got to take my boxing wherever I go.
Hey,
down on that.
Yeah, man. Hey, that's what you call a true, true boxing head, brother. Hey, thanks, man. I'm going to put you back on hold, okay?
All right, yeah.
Oh, man. I remember those days, you know, taking the kids with me. I used to take them to the amateur fights in their baby carriage and stuff here, Gabe. And I'd put my kids right there, man. And I would even change their diaper and feed them, in the seating because I didn't want to miss it, you know, and stuff. And, of course, the people next to me weren't too happy about it. But I was like, hey, man, I paid for my seat just like you guys paid for your seat. So shut the hell up. You know, anyway.
Tonight was a night, so, you know, it was a victory for boxing. The underdog won.
Right.
It was in a regional area that hadn't seen a fight in almost 20 years, like 18 years. And the right guy won. I thought the ref did a fine job. He was, you know, at least he was consistent within the rules that he set up. Other people said, well, like pushing, like what the hell? But it is illegal. I have seen people warn for it. It's not the first time I've seen pushing and felt like somebody should say something that, you know, to the guy doing it. And, you know, boxing won on a regional level. The little guy won. It was just all around good. And we won because we saw a really good close fight. And I think in our hearts, everybody was pulling for Peterson. And we all felt like those last two rounds, maybe, just maybe, this fucking guy can pull it off. And he did it.
Right.
Why we love boxing.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Exactly. You know, and it's like, you know, three times a charm. Like I mentioned again, you know, the guy went for it twice, fell very short for it, and you know, the thing is that, you know, this is the thing, and I'll keep going back to this style that he's using, is that the first two times around, really honestly, it was not familiar grounds for him. He changed his style. He decided to become more of a, you know, puncher and mauler rather than the boxer and the slick fighter that he's been in the past, you know. So I really truly think that tonight, it really, all the pieces and all the puzzles that he was trying to put together, they finally ended up just connecting at the right time in the right moment. And we definitely saw that tonight against Amir Khan. And Amir and his people, I think they saw a guy that was trying to adopt a style that was not him, and they thought, we're going to take advantage of it, because Timothy Bradley was not a big puncher and he was able to drop him. Victor Ortiz dropped him, and we've seen the way he fights. In a lot of ways, too, now we kind of more or less know why Victor Ortiz was running away from Lamont Peterson in their fight, you know, when they encountered each other. You know, because Victor did the same thing. He got on his bike pedal in the second half of the fight.
Dude is just relentless, man. I mean,
he just
had to have it tonight. You know, I didn't think the fourth round. I just said to myself, dude's got to have it tonight. He's fighting like it, you know?
Margarito somewhere right now saying, hey, I'm proud of that guy, man. You
know? exactly what, you know, the same kind of tenacity just coming forward.
Brandon Rios, too. You know, he's got to be sitting back going, man, the guy's, you know, really kind of shelling up my type of style. That's the way that Brandon likes to come out and you know, handle his business. And I can see a lot of fight fans already talking about Brandon Rios versus Lamont Peterson. And Ernie from the Boxing Lab, who talks to Brandon Rios, said, confirmed that Brandon was game to it. He said, hey, I'm willing to go in there and you know, I wouldn't call it dance around, but pole fighting. I mean, if we wanted to see a good fight between two guys, mix it up in the pocket, Diego Corrales, Jose Luis Castillo type of vibe, I think we may have it here. I think we have a possibility of having it, you know?
That's fun. You know, Mike Alvarado is fun.
Oh.
That's the thing, you know.
Yeah.
Peterson is
he's a solid
guy, you know,
yeah.
And any of the fights that he's lost, he was right there. Even, you know, the Bradley scores, you look back and they're so wide. But I was at that fight, and it was a hard fight. It was not
it
an easy fight.
It was a very hard fight. And you saw,
you know,
Timothy adjust to that fight twice.
They both adjusted. Yeah.
Yeah.
They both adjusted.
You know, so that's one thing. I think anybody now at 140, you know, if you looked at Lamont as just some guy that was being used as a name to be as a stepping stone or maybe a test to see if you're the real deal, you better really think very, very hard before stepping in the ring with that kid, because even when he fought Timothy, we all walked away impressed because it was an exciting fight. When he fought Victor Ortiz, it wasn't that exciting, but you could see the guy never stopped. He never stopped trying. With Victor Cayo, that was an exciting fight. And now you have Amir Khan, and guess what? He just left it again with us talking about him, you know. And in so many ways, we talk about these titles, and you were mentioning this earlier, you know, with Broner, how easy it is for these guys to gain titles. In reality, if there was no title on the line, this Lamont Peterson would be one of those guys that, as a contender, he's just very exciting. We would end up calling a champion without a title.
You know, it's funny, too, that here's Golden Boy complaining about this decision. And,
right.
But you got to look at it, you know, a couple of points of view, like what you're saying. We always say the belts aren't important, like, and Lou DiBella's line is, unless they are. And it's true. Like, tonight, it was important that the belts existed because Lamont Peterson got a shot at the title because he earned it. You know, he fought the Eliminator, he got it done, and he put himself in a position to do it, and then he did it. That would only happen if the belts, maybe it would happen in a league situation, but this is a case of the belts doing well for everybody. And that's, to me, you know, at the same time, here's the other angle. Golden Boy's bitching about this, but this is like a day after they announced that their fighter, Golden Boy fighter, Danny Garcia, well, actually he's not theirs. He's an Al Haymon fighter, but they front for him.
Right.
Is going to be fighting Eric Morales, a Golden Boy fighter, you know, based more or less, you know, contracted with them. And they're going to be bypassing A. Jose Elucidan, who's the mandatory challenger. Junior welterweight belt. And they have no problem screwing that guy over, but they're going to bitch about a close decision. It just keeps showing how these guys don't care about cleaning up the sport. That was all just a front.
Nope.
They're just promoters like everybody else.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. And a big shout-out to, really quick, to Jam Peter Pan, who is the one that tweeted us saying, hey, come on, don't – no bickering, man. It's 7 a.m. over here in the U.K. But let's pass in some other fight fans that want to talk boxing here with us. Let's go with area code 917. You're on live right now and leaving the ring. What's on your mind, brother?
Yo, what's good? What's good? This is Boricua Boxing, crashing to leave it in the ring. What's going on, baby?
What's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
This is JC Styles. I'm good, Papa. Just coming out of this fight right now up in Washington, D.C., man.
Hey, that's right on. You went down over there. You had a chance to see one of our writer, Delroy Hills, out there, too. He's covering it, too, man. What a luck. You guys are some lucky cats, man. You guys end up seeing a good fight. What did you think about it being there live?
Yo, man, I'll tell you, I went as a fan. You know, I took some pictures. You know, I always got to do something. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
but
right.
I was sitting right next to Paul Williams, sitting next to Adrian Broner, and we were all sitting together just enjoying the fight. I think it was a great fight. I went to the post-fight presser, and Team Khan, of course, they were crying, saying how come Washington, D.C. haven't had a fight in 18 years, and now they
that
see
was,
the reason why.
That was disrespectful, too, man. I couldn't believe he said that, you know? That was like, come on, dude. You know?
Yo, they were all crying, man. They were all sore losers, that's all. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But, you know, I don't know if you saw Oscar De La Hoya's tweet right now about saying, what the hell was the ref thinking?
Yeah.
I mean, shit, man, what the fuck? Why didn't you fucking hire somebody better then? Stop being so fucking broke.
It was funny, man, and that's hilarious. I'm looking at the scorecard, and...
Yo, who's talking to you?
Yo, by the way, guys, this is Carlos, Boricua Boxing. That's not me talking. That's my crazy cousin.
What's up, Cardinal?
I'm just letting your listeners know that wasn't Boricua Boxing. Shout out to Gabriel. Shout out to David. You guys are always doing your thing. De La Hoya was crying. Tom was crying. Oh, I was crying. I don't care. I'm signing off. God bless you guys.
That's funny.
Yo, David, why am I crashing your show? I don't understand. What's wrong with you?
Hey, you guys, obviously you guys came out feeling good, man, so it's all good, you know?
Much love.
This is a trip on George Hill's scorecard. In the seventh round, the first time that Khan lost a point, he'd already filled it out 10-9 for Khan. And then when he lost the point, he changed his scorecard to 10-8 for Peterson. But but you can see it on the scorecard. Fight News has it up, the link's up, that he had to, like, erase it. But that point deduction happened in the round. So, like, why was it already filled out?
Wow.
He eventually gave the fight to Peterson, but I just find that kind of funny.
It took an awful long time, man, for them to get those scorecards back, you know, and to be, you know, read off and stuff. And that there kind of worried me for a little bit. And you could really see that even in the con quarter and stuff, that was kind of rubbing him a little wrong. Peterson looked like, dude, the guy was going to have an anxiety attack, you know. And when you normally see something like that, you know something's going to be a little fishy. So I thought maybe there was some tampering with the scores, but who knows, you know? Like I said, I got to go back and watch this fight again. I don't want to sit here and say I thought this person won when I said, like I said, there was so much emotions and I was running with the underdog in this fight that I don't want to say off the bat, you know, but only seeing it once. I want to see it again, and then I'll definitely give you my big point of view, what I thought and what I saw Saturday night on Thursday night show. Hey, man, you guys heading back to the hotel, brothers, or what?
We're heading back to the hotel to do all the editing so that you guys can enjoy the press conference. We got a lot of stuff that we got to work on. But, yeah, man, we're heading back now.
Great, man. Mm-hmm. You guys always do a fantastic job. Boricua Boxing here with us on Leave It on the Ring. Hey, let me know when you guys get that up, brother, so I can tweet it out and send it out and put it wherever we can for you guys, man.
No doubt, guys. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. And much love to you guys. You too,
hey,
Gabe.
Drive safe, brother.
You're in the ring!
Take care, brothers.
You good, guys.
You too, man. Well, there you go. Boricua Boxing calling in and giving us the info. They were there live at the fights. Too bad. You know what? I don't have Delroy Hill, our writer for Leaving the Ring, to tell him to call in so he can tell us about the effect of what happened there live, too, as well, you know? Because everybody always has a different perspective of what happened when they're there sitting live at the fights. You know, we're getting the perspective of what we saw there here on the telly, but when you're there live, it's a different feeling. You know what I mean, Gabe?
Yeah. I mean, they had to have been going crazy there. I mean, it's like I remember tweeting out
the dude with the bullhorn would have drove me crazy. I tell you that. I would have walked away from the fight with a headache.
Yeah, you know, it live is just something else, you know, like watching the Williams and Martinez rematch on TV, and then I found after I got back from seeing it, and then I found a video that somebody did on YouTube that's taken from the stands, and like how
right.
insane everybody goes when he hits the canvas. There's just nothing like it, man. And to have been there tonight would have been something special just to see the right guy win.
Absolutely.
You know, and the hometown guy. So
really quick, you know, Roy Jones Jr. did win. We predicted that he was going to win the fight and stuff. So, but I haven't had a chance. That's why we're not talking about any of the other fights that happened tonight. Because me, myself, and Gabe, we haven't had a chance to check them out, but we'll definitely be talking about those fights. The Segura, you know, upset. You know what's messed up is that we didn't talk about that fight. We, for some reason, myself and Gabe, we were thinking it was going to happen next week, not this Saturday. I even called you. I remember, Gabe, I was like, dude, it's happening tonight. But so we dropped the ball on that one there, but we'll definitely catch up with what happened on Thursday night and see if we can get some of the fighters or some of the folks that are out there to witness those fights and stuff. But anyways, I don't know about you, man, but it's almost time for us to say goodbye. Hello again. Here on Leaving
I'm
the Ring. Yeah, you sound like you're about to fall over, brother, you know?
I'm drinking coffee. I'm like smelling salts. It's not exactly nappy time, but you know, I need my midnight feeding.
I can see your eyes are drooping like the way Antonio Margarito's eyes were drooping on the second round with the Miguel Cotto fight, you know. So
I'm bleeding. Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, I know. I'm losing my voice, and it's about that time for me too. It's past my bedtime, you know. I'm an old man now. But anyways, everybody that tuned in and listened to us here on Leaving the Ring, I appreciate you guys calling in, all the boxing heads, and, you know, chopping it up with us. Don't forget to go pick up your Undisputed magazine, $1.99. Check out the December issue. January 1 will be out on the 1st. A lot of good stuff. We got Trainer of the Year, Prospects, you know, Fight of the Year, the whole works, Round of the Year, everything in there, man, that you're going to feed the boxing fix that we all crave for our sport. Anyways, I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Gable Montoya. This is Leaving the Ring, signing off. You guys all have a good night and be safe.
Peace.